Yes, God has smiled on me. He has set me free.
To me, he's my all in all.
You may be seated. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to see you here. Good to see faces I haven't seen in a long time. Long time, Brother Price. It's good to have y'all here. Now, I'm not gonna run this. I'm going to turn this over to Brother Covey. He's got a suit and tie on today. He's looking dapper. So we're going to get him up here, and I want him to do what he needs to do. But we ain't going to get out of here without Brother Price saying something. See, the thing that I love about the service is I open them and I close them. So whatever happens in between, God's got control of that. But if I have to come around the backside and say, hey, I can do that. But I'm going to turn this over to Brother Covey, and he wants to do what he wants to do, and we'll let you take it from here.
Amen.
Go on over there.
I was pointing at the piano, but I'm not going that far. Yes. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of God.
Amen.
Are we on here? You can hear me all right.
Yeah,
yes, great. You can see the church is pretty full tonight. You know, I've asked a few people to come. You know, when you ask somebody, if you ask them for dinner, and if they're hungry, they'll come.
Right.
If they're spiritually hungry, they come. They come. And, you know, just by faith, I wrote a list.
Okay.
And sometimes it's good to do these things. When you feel inspired, mm-hmm. you do what that inspiration tells you to do. I wrote a list so I wouldn't forget names. Sometimes you get up here, you get a little bit nervous, and you forget everything. And then God says, write it down. That's what he did. He wrote it down, but he's not one that'll forget anything. And so just a little list here of people that I invited. Some's not here that I invited. Some are here that I didn't, you know. So, but God knows your heart, and he knows your footsteps, and he knows what every individual person here needs to hear tonight, including the preacher, you know. And so the last time I was here, I kind of dodge preaching, which is good for you guys, you know. But they get nervous when I wear the suit and tie because they know I mean business, you know. And but like I said, the last time I had a minister come in, you know, if you can't go yourself, you send somebody.
That's right.
And if you don't want to do it yourself, you bring somebody with you. And I brought Brother Ben Nord here tonight. And he's got his mother, Sister Wilma, here. And he was preaching at Brother Jerry Allen's church, which is over here. And he heard Sunday morning that Brother Ben's going to be over here. And he decided, I'm just going to bring most of my church with me. So they just, they got enough Sunday morning, but they wanted more. They wanted more. Sometimes it's good to go back to the buffet.
That's
you
right.
know, even if you're not hungry, it still tastes good. Yeah.
Amen.
Well, anyways, I see Brother Wesley back there, and we've been working together here the past couple weeks, and I told him Brother Nate Moore has a church up here in Fairborn, and we're going to have a little special meeting here tonight, and like him to come, and he said, I think we can make it.
Amen.
You know, I think we can make it. So he brought his wife and beautiful little daughters and children. And if you've got children, the best place in the world is to take them somewhere where all the answers are, all the right answers are. And you know, sometimes we've repeated this several times, but when something's good, you repeat it a lot. Brother Moore here, he had I don't know if it's a vision or a thought that God gave him about a year and a half ago, and he said, we want water coming in this church,
yes.
the water of the word, and we want water going out. But you have to have water coming in before it can go out.
Right.
Have you ever had an empty bucket that you poured water out of?
No.
There's no water in there. It's an empty bucket.
Amen.
But you put water in that bucket, You can pour it on every flower that you want to pour on. And you know you're God's bouquet. He's going to pour the water of the word out on you tonight, and you're going to have to grow, because God's word does not come back to him void. It don't come back to him void. God's word settles it. It should settle it with us. And you know, speaking about water going in, water going out, it's like your heart. If you open up your heart to the word of God tonight, it'll be filled. But if you shut your door to the heart, you're going to leave out of here empty.
That's right.
But these young people, and even us older folks, we've got such a crazy world out there right now that if we open up our heart to the world, it's going to be filled with just terrible stuff. Amen. So let's shut our heart and mind to the world, and let's just open it up to the things that God has for us tonight. Amen. You know, it's just such a, this is like one of the most important places right here in the world is a pulpit. It's a place that I've always been a nervous wreck to be around, because I'm in a finite body. I'm not in an infinite body yet. And this finite body can make mistakes. And I've always been afraid of that calling of preaching, because I was always afraid of this, that I was held accountable up here for what I said. But I was also held accountable for what I didn't say, knowing it would hurt some people's feelings, you know? But then I had to remind myself, these aren't my words. I'm just a vessel that's willing to have the Lord speak through tonight. We've also got a little church just super close by. It's a Baptist church just a couple blocks over, Stewart Street. And the pastor sitting here tonight, Pastor Pat and his wife, and some of his congregation. Yes. I'm going to drink this preacher's water, all of it. They said, "There's more." Okay, good. We're talking about water, but I'm putting water in, so at least I can talk, get something out. But it's been a real privilege getting to know them through the years. They've invited me into their church. And to speak to their people. And I remember one time I got a phone call from Pastor Patton. They've got a daughter named Julie, and she's been sick most of her life. And they called for some preachers and some pastors to come pray for her at Children's Hospital. And I remember showing up down there, and several of them couldn't make it. But we prayed for that little girl, and she's going to have a major surgery the next day. And I told Pastor Pat, call me. Let me know how that surgery went. But we prayed for a couple hours. We sat around and talked and prayed for Julie. And the next day he said, "Brother Eric," I said, "How'd the surgery go?" "She didn't have to have it." Amen. "She didn't have to have it." And I see,
amen.
Yes, he deserves the praise for that,
yes.
Definitely. And she's one that's been in and out of the hospital so much. And her mother right here, Brother Eric, it's been 3 months since she's even had to go to the doctor or the hospital. It's been 6 months. It's been 9 months now, right? Working on 10.
Amen.
Yeah, God doesn't halfway do anything. And if you'd meet this little girl, precious as precious can be. And how I got to meet them was Long John Silver's. I met Brother George Wright and his wife, and we got to talking, and the Spirit of the Lord came down in Long John Silver's. And we had to step outside in the parking lot, and we just kept fellowshipping. And then I went home that night, and I told my son, I said, "I met this Baptist guy. And boy, I like the spirit of him. You know, the spirit of a man means everything."
Amen.
And I said, so I went home, told my boy, I said, "Hey," he's a teenager at the time. I said, "I really am impressed to go visit them on Thursday night." And he goes, "Well, I'll go with you, Dad. I'll go with you." And 20 minutes later, George calls me. He says, "I've been talking to my pastor, and we'd like to know if you want to come Thursday night and speak for us." And I said, "Well, I'll bring the food, you know." And so since then, it's just been 2 or 3 years now, and we've just been fellowshipping. Now they get to visit our house tonight a little bit. Now, I know we got a mixed crowd here tonight. You know, we've got Baptists and maybe some Church of Christ and some Message folks and some people that just don't even go to church, but the inspiration of conversations, sometimes it makes them thirsty for things.
Right. Amen.
There's a brother back here. He owns a trucking company. His name's Mike. Mike, lift your hand there if you will. And him and his girlfriend there and his uncle. And it's Mike and his uncle Mike and my brother Mike sitting right there. And the three Mikes. And so here a couple weeks ago, they came over to our house and just about car stuff and whatever us guys do. And they came, and now she's expecting a baby, you know? And somehow, we got on the subject of things that you can't see. That's faith. We start talking. We all got inspired that night. And Mike there, he looks at me, and we're about ready to part our ways. He said, "Hey, keep me in your prayers." And I said, "Mike, I'll do you better than that, buddy. I'll pray for you right here and right now." And buddy, we got together in that driveway, and he called him around, "Hey, huddle up. He's going to pray, you know, for us." And buddy, we started to pray. And after we got done praying, you could feel that Shekinah glory come down. And the sister right there, she goes, "Oh my, I felt everything. I had goosebumps all over. My baby was moving like crazy." And you know, it reminded me of that time Elizabeth was expecting. And Mary come up and said the name Jesus to her, and her baby was still inside of her, hadn't been moving, thought it was dead inside. And next thing you know, when she said her baby's name's going to be Jesus, that baby leaped with joy. Amen. And received the Holy Ghost. Amen. Inside its mother's womb. So all things are possible. So think of something that's impossible, and it's possible with God. So do you love him tonight? Amen. Are you excited to be here? Yes. Oh, I would be nowhere else tonight. So again, there might be some things here preached that you might not understand. But if you can open your Bible and say it's not in your Bible, what you're hearing tonight, don't believe it for a minute if it's not in your Bible.
That's right.
But if you can open your Bible and you can see that it's being the truth being preached, you better accept it. You better take it, because you've got to take the whole book.
Right.
You can't take just part of it. You got to take the whole book.
Right,
and here I am. I'm just going on. But we're going to sing a couple songs. But I'm telling you, I'm just excited. I know that if the world can fill up a Super Bowl of tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people, why can't the saints of God just ask some people to come to church?
Amen.
It's either not going to be in them, they won't have the desire, or you know what? You might pass the one that has that desire to come.
That's right.
Don't keep your mouth shut. Don't be afraid to tell your truth to people.
Amen.
So now I'm almost too dry to sing. We're going to sing a few little songs, and then we're going to have Ben come up.
Amen.
Let's go with I look out amongst you guys, and you're just God's wonderful people. So that's what we're going to sing now. If you feel like standing, you can stand, but give it all you got when you sing tonight. The more you give, the more you get back.
I love the thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. Love the thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. What a sight just to see all the happy faces praising God in heavenly places. What a thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. I love the thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. Love the thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. What a sight just to see all the happy faces praising God in heavenly places. What a thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people.
We're going to sing that one more time and get happy. And whenever it says all the happy faces, I want to see happy faces out there. If you could be standing where I'm at, you'll see frowns and things of the day that's been working on you. Remember, all the problems you've had today, leave them out the door. Be free tonight, because whom God has set free is free indeed. Isn't that right? Get happy tonight.
I love the thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. Love the thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. What a sight just to see all the happy faces praising God in heavenly places. What a thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people.
Praise the Lord. Isn't He so good? Sometimes it's hard to get out of that rut. But you know, we got a couple hours here that the Creator of time set aside just for His children. Oh, I tell you, you know, He arrived when you guys did. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you brought Him with you, and you're going to take Him with you tonight. So get all excited. Go out there and tell everybody. Then you'll fill a church. And I could have asked more, but I thought, wow, maybe that church might not be big enough. So, but wouldn't that be good to have so many people that it ain't big enough to hold? You know, I'm looking forward to a rapture. That's why it's going to be so big. He couldn't contain us. He has to take us up in the air. You know, there's going to be a meeting one day. It's going to be greater than any meeting we've ever been in. And it's going to be so great that it's going to raise the dead that are in Christ. And it's going to be so great it won't even be able to be preached here on this ground. It's going to have to be preached in the air. Are you ready for that day? Let's go to I Keep Falling in Love With You. Don't you?
I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. I just keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. What a love between my Lord and I. I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. Just keep falling in love with Him over and over.
Just over and over again, I wake up in the morning and I hear reading the Bible that His mercies are new every morning, every day. And, you know, I was saying this at Brother Jerry's church Sunday. You know, me and my brother, we were driving to church over there. Y'all may be seated for a minute there if you like. That's what happens. You get a little nervous and you leave people standing forever. And, you know, you think, I'm thinking if I can do it, you know. So, but we were driving to church and my brother Mike, he was saying, he says, you know, the Bible says that our joy comes in the morning. And you look out at this world, it's such a sad place and all these troubles and trials and just crazy stuff going out there. And they're just, they're roaming to and fro, just like the devil, just seeking what might satisfy them. And they keep passing by that well that never runs dry. Right. How many churches and houses of God do you pass by to get to the mall? You know, I mean, your answers are in the house of God. And so he said, but you know, your joy comes in the morning. He said, Eric, he said, Them people are so miserable when they go to bed. And then when they wake up in the morning, when their mercy should be renewed, and they have that joy that comes in the morning, they wake up sadder than the night before. They're like dreading the next day. Listen, we're children of God. Amen. We're children of happiness. Our joy, He gives us if we accept it.
Right.
If we don't accept it, we don't get it. Amen. You know, I accept. I accept.
Amen.
You know, so we are just about ready. Are you ready for the Word of God?
Amen.
You know, I've always said that the song service, that's just an appetizer. That's just like going out to a restaurant. Your appetizer takes about 5 minutes to eat, but your meal takes about 20 or 30 or 40 minutes to eat. And so that appetizer just is what this song service is all about. And then we're getting ready to hear, really not from Brother Ben, we're going to be hearing from a greater place tonight. And if you'll open up your heart and open up your mind and open up your Bible. There's a lot of churches don't really have Bibles anymore. Have you ever heard of going to school without a book bag, you know, or with books? This is the house of the Lord. Take His book with you and read it. But we're going to sing this little chorus, and I just feel it right now. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. And just sing that with me, if you will. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory. Let's just all stand, and let's just, without any music tonight, just sing that. Give it everything that you have. Say Jesus is standing right here, and He says, children, would you sing to me? Let's just sing that. Let's just feel His presence come down in here, and the preacher can make his way. If somebody, Brother Jay, could you hook him up if you like? Let's just sing it.
Amen.
Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on His face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Sing it once again.
Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can feel the brush of angels.
Yes, my Lord.
I see glory
on his face.
Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. And I certainly believe with all of my heart that not only is he here, but he's here to do everything he promised in his word to do.
Amen.
One thing that we know, one thing we're confident of, is that the Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday,
yes,
today,
yes,
and forever.
Yes.
No matter what your circumstances are, no matter what your background is, where you come from or where you're going, God is not only mindful of you, he's not only able to do above what you think he can do, but he's more willing to do it than what you'll ever give him credit for.
Amen.
You know, we've made the Lord out to be like a dictator, a tyrant. We threaten people with hell. We dangle them over, a fiery flame, as it was, with you're a sinner and you're going to go to hell. But you don't understand, the real love of Almighty God throws every roadblock in your way to keep you from going to such a place like that. That's the whole purpose of Calvary. That's the whole purpose of his love. Are you with me? Say amen.
Amen.
It's the whole purpose of the blood of Jesus Christ.
That's right. That's right.
How good he is to us. Will you be seated just a moment? Amen. Let me quickly say that I'm so grateful. Thank you, musicians. God bless you so much.
Thank you.
Great. Appreciate sister letting me ride her horse there for a little bit. I appreciate that. Amen. Amen. Brother Eric wanted me to come help him a little bit, and I appreciate that. And this is not my first time at this church. This may be your first time seeing me. But when I was 4, 5, and 6 years old, I slept on those back 3 or 4 pews back there. And this is actually home for me. In a lot of ways, this is home church. And I think when I look around, I think of all of the different people that I used to see in this place. And I used to know that they were present and around. I think we're on. Good. It's on. I got plenty of power in here, but we need electricity in there, don't we? Amen. Yeah, that's right. And I think of all the different people that, that I saw come through these doors and through the years of being here. And I just want to say what a privilege, what a real honor it is for me to be standing here now. Brother Nate, wherever you went to, God bless you very much. And thank you for the open door of being able to come. I want to say thank you to Brother Eric for helping us arrange. And Brother Larry back there. Brother Larry Allen had started this with me about a year ago, and I just kept waiting on the Lord, waiting on the Lord, waiting for a right opportunity to come. I've been preaching since I was 14. Now I'm 45 years old, so I'm going to celebrate 31 years in the ministry. I celebrated 31 years right now around the world at least one time this summer. And I've never, in 31 years, never asked a man to let me come to his pulpit unless he opened the door in some way and said, hey, come on by or preach if you got something on your heart or something like that. And so, I'm not one of these guys that like to get up and call and pull and this, that. I just let the Lord open the thing and then I go. And I felt like tonight was the season for this. And I want to say how appreciative I am to you, brother, and the church body for receiving us. And God bless all you visitors here tonight. We appreciate all of you being here. And everybody from the Coveys to the Allens, and look at her out all the way through here. My mom is here with me tonight. My baby daughter Jessica's here. And Brother Price is here somewhere. Brother Price, raise your arm. Where'd you go? I lost you. There you are, buddy, back here in the back. Amen. Now listen, these men were in this church before I was developing eyelids. All right, and they helped build this sanctuary. They helped build this church from the very foundation. And brethren, I can't say I just couldn't express. The words would fail me. What a privilege it is to be here like this.
Amen.
Knowing that the message really began in this part of the world, right around through here. This is where all of these ins and outs began.
Amen.
And we thank the Lord for that.
Yes,
and if it's all right now, I know I'm going to try, it's Wednesday night, I'm going to try to be very brief and not preach to you a whole long, but would it be all right? My mother just turned 86 years old this year.
Amen.
And I don't know, it's been probably at least 40 or 50 years since she sang in this church. Would it be all right if I let her sing with me one time? All right. Come on, Mom. Come on. And then if it's all right, I might sing one. Would that be okay? Maybe one. All right. Amen. My wife isn't here with me tonight. She's over at the Ohio Youth Camp. They're having services there. She's there with my other daughter. I've got 3 girls. My daughters are 15, 13, and 7 years old. And
And by that, you can see the bald spot on the back of my head. That's from them. Amen. But I got a godly little wife back there, and I wish she was here tonight where she could sing a little bit with us too. Maybe in the future, one of these days, we get to bring the family back and do it again, Brother Nathan. And I was laughing. I told him, I said, us Oregon buffs going to have to stay together. We're a dying breed. Amen. Amen. So that's for sure. Amen. And I realize this being streamed tonight, so God bless the invisible audience. May the Lord bless you greatly in the service tonight. And we're just trusting the Lord to give us a good time. Now, don't be in no hurry, okay? We're going to just let the Lord have His way tonight. Amen. God bless you very much. All right. Is this one okay?
The trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more. And the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair,
where the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore. And the roll is called up yonder.
I'll be there.
When the roll is called up yonder.
When the roll is called up yonder.
When the
shall rise, and the glory of His resurrection share.
Then the chosen one
shall gather over on the other shore,
and the roll is called up yonder.
I'll be there.
Do you plan on being there?
I'd like to make one quick hallelujah to Jesus.
Testify, Mama.
We almost lost this baby here a year ago with COVID, but God come and healed his body and saved him. He was a very, very sick boy, and God answered our prayers and saved him. And we are waiting on his daddy on the other side.
Amen. Praise the Lord. He was a troubled kid in and out of jail,
When his daddy said, "This is the last time I'll pay bail." So he enlisted in the army, and they sent him to Iraq. He was a different man when he came back. Some people said the army must have whipped you into shape, but he said, "That's not the reason I've changed. Somebody died for me before I even asked for help. Gave his life for me when I couldn't save myself. I cannot live the way I lived or be the way I was. Every day's a gift to me because somebody died for me." Now they fold the flag and attach a silver star as the grieving mother leans against his arm. And he stands before the family and does his best to tell how he survived the night his best friend fell. No one who ever knew him was surprised he died that way, 'cause he'd always live for Jesus. Oh, he used to always say, "Somebody died for me before I even asked for help. Gave his life for me when I couldn't save myself. I cannot live the way I lived or be the way I was. Every day's a gift to me because somebody died for me." Now, I don't want to waste a moment of the time that I have left. With every breath I'm given, God, help me not forget. Help me not forget somebody died for me before I even asked for help. Gave his life for me when I couldn't save myself. I cannot live the way I've lived or be the way I was. Every day's a gift to me because oh, every day's a gift to me because somebody died for me. How many know his name? Say it one time. And I don't want to waste a moment of the time that I have left. With every breath I'm given, God, help me not forget. Help me not forget somebody died for me before I even asked for help. Gave his life for me when I couldn't save myself. I could not live the way I'd lived or be the way I was. You see, every day's a gift to me. Can you shout amen? Because, and every day's a gift to me because, every day's a gift to me because Jesus died for me. Somebody died for me before I even asked for help.
gave his life for me. When I couldn't save myself, I cannot live the way I lived or be the way I was. Every day's a gift to me because somebody ought to be able to holler amen. Amen. Every day's a gift to me because I said, every day's a gift to me, and I don't want to waste a one of them, because somebody died for me. Praise his holy name. Amen and amen. Amen. The Lord bless you tonight. Amen. Do you love the Lord? Say amen one time. He's really wonderful to us, and I sure appreciate God's grace. And I tell you, friends, if we don't know him in the power of his resurrection, can I beg you? Would that be all right? Can I beg you, don't leave here until you know him in the power of his resurrection. There's a lot of things laying in the Word of God that, quite honestly, it may be far beyond our reach, no matter how long we've been in church, for that matter. But understand, the Lord Jesus is not known by reading the Bible like you're reading a newspaper, or studying the Word of God so that you can get phrases and words and things correctly. Let me tell you how we know him. We know him by relationship. Amen. We open our heart and we let him have control of every aspect of our life. You call him Savior, and you do well to call him Savior. We want him to save us. We want him to be more than just a Savior. We want him to be a Lord. And to be a Lord means that he has to control every aspect of our lives. I want to ask you a question tonight. Are you willing to let him control every area of your life? Amen. Amen. I believe it with all of my heart. If you have your Bibles tonight, let's turn to the book of Hebrews. And we're just going to take a couple thoughts here. Now, I'm on the clock about maybe, I'm going to try to quit you some. Let's see, it's about 20 after 8. And I'm going to try to quit you right around 9. Would that be all right? Sound like a good time limit? And then whatever the Lord does after that, that's what we're going to do. Now, if you get tired, wore out, and a little bit maybe exhausted feeling, that's all right if you stand up, maybe walk around, get you a drink of water. I told the church the other day over there in Hamilton, I said, you know, I've come to realize why people sleep in my services. Because when they get in the house of God, it's the first time that they ever really experience peace, and they finally can go to sleep. Amen. That's about the truth of it. Amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6. Amen. What a great privilege it is to read the Word of God. Can you say amen to that? There's many books in this day, my friends, that can maybe testify of being a great book, but there's only one infallible book in the entire world, and that's the Bible. Amen. And you can rest your heart on every single word of it. The Lord helping us tonight, I want to speak to you on a ministry of angels. A ministry of angels. And the Lord helping us, I want to read two verses. I'm going to let you be seated. Paul speaking, Hebrews 1, 6. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. Now notice that again. Who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. Let's pray over the word, can we? While your heads are bowed this evening, if you'd like to be remembered in prayer, would you just slip your hand up to the Lord? Maybe some need on your heart. Amen. My hand's up too. Lord Jesus, what a privilege it is to be here, numbered with the saints of God, Lord, and those of light, precious faith from every walk of life seemingly tonight. Lord, as I stand here, you know that this is something that's been in my heart for a little while now to come here. I've been burdened to come back to the little tabernacle for a long time. And thank you, Lord, for allowing us to have the privilege of being here. Now, Father, as we submit and commit ourselves and surrender ourselves to you as a vessel, that you can use me, take my mouth and my body and my language and what more, and use that, Lord, to edify every person sitting here. May the power of the Holy Spirit not only come into this place upon the word, but may you anoint every heart and every life that's in here tonight. Lord Jesus, may you go underneath that hand and see that need tonight.
May the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray, not only bless your children and give them your favor, but Lord, may you open up everyone. If there be a lost one or backslid one amongst tonight, let the angels of the Lord come into this place tonight and deliver unto them what they are asking for, their needs, O God. As Lord, when we look into your word tonight, I know as we speak supernaturally, supernatural things will happen here. So, Father, as an authority in the Lord Jesus, as a Son of God with authority, I take every spirit in here under my control for the glory of God. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I adjure Satan. Satan, you are not allowed to bother, to disrupt, or defuse any person in here connected to that spark of the Holy Ghost. You take your dirty hands and all of your imps the same away from every mind, every thought, every body. And may the Holy Ghost come into this place tonight and do great things among us, Lord, as we commit all of this to you, speaker and listener, in the name of Jesus Christ. And the saints said, amen. 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 You may be seated. May the Lord bless you. Now, what I'm going to look at tonight, I believe, will be beneficial to not only those that have been saved for a long time and have given their heart to the Lord many years ago, but I believe that this will be beneficial for newcomers, for those of you that maybe are not churchgoers or maybe not frequent the church, and perhaps this is all just a curious thing to you and you're not sure exactly how to place it yet. But at the same time, I want to minister to those that have been around truth for a long time. And I don't want to just make this sound like one kind of a big sinner's type message and make you feel isolated, but I want to try to speak something that I think will benefit all walks of life. And there's one thing that you're evidently aware of if you are being, you know, as far as being aware or being mindful of life around you, that there's areas of your life that you could step back and say, you know, I should have died, I should have been killed, I should have had this happen or that happen, but something got in my way to stop me from going into that, and here I am alive today. There's a curious world beyond us that we call the supernatural. And let me explain the supernatural to you this way. Now, you're not going to find this on Netflix and Prime and all these other ones are not going to put on a TV show that's going to be able to explain it to you the way that I'm going to explain it to you tonight. This is as simple as it gets. There are two powers that control this world. There's God and there's the devil. And how we know the influence of the devil is upon the actions of what the devil is himself. He is a person. He is a real being. He has a certain type of character, a certain type of behavior, and he expresses that thought onto other people, using everything from the media to social media to the news to you name it, even pulpits. He tries to use religion even to influence people to think his way. And yet God, from the very foundations of this world, has a character within himself. He is also a person and has a nature and a behavior, and he wants to express himself to those that are willing to receive his mind, his thoughts, and his way of doing things. Now, remember that in the very beginning, before there was a sun, a moon, a star, or anything, the Bible expresses to us that the Lord Jesus created angels as one of the beginning, if you will, communities. And I think of being in the community church. Well, one of the beginning community churches was actually the angels of the Lord. And when the angels of God were created, they were created in an aspect that they were there for worship, they were there to give God glory, but they were also created as servants to serve at the needs of, later on in time, of course, the saints of God. But they were created for servitude, and they were also created for worship of the Lord. An angel of God was not created like you and I. They have no sexual genitalia. They can't reproduce. You really can't look at them and say, you know, where's your family? Can you show me family albums? An angel was created, and as they are, that's exactly what they are. And they were created with a certain amount of power, abilities within them, and that never changes no matter how long we go on in time. And Satan himself was actually the lead angel in heaven. Now, where all of our battles and all of our troubles come from down here in time is the product and the result of Satan, who was made in such a way that he was everything that God was, except for he could not create as God could. And we understand that the devil is that kind of person. If I could go through all of these scriptures tonight, we honestly would be here for hours and hours just covering all of this. But the Bible declares that Satan was so shrewd and so smart that he actually deceived the nations. Can you imagine somebody that had such an ability and a charisma about them that they could talk Napoleon into the great conquest, that he could talk Hitler into the Holocaust of the Jews, that he could convince, as it is right now, Putin and Russia to attack the Ukrainians? Every evil thing you've ever seen, the devil is that convincing, he is that shrewd, he is that smart, and he has that kind of ability. And folks, I don't care what your background is or what church you come from, there is only one way that the little lady of God, the bride of Jesus Christ, will ever overcome such a creature as that, and that is found in St. John chapter 3. You must be born again. Because remember, if Christ is on the inside of you, then Christ himself, the Holy Ghost, will bring overcoming power into your life that you can overcome every trick of the devil.
Amen.
And real overcoming, friends, is being able to recognize Satan and how he works, how he moves. Don't forget that the devil is religious. Get this out of your mind, that the devil just hangs out in honky-tonks and out in dance clubs and out in Skid Row and in the ghettos and things like that. Satan's first realm of influence was religion. And it remains to be the same right here tonight. Does anybody hear me preach tonight? Amen. It remains to be the same exact way here tonight. Folks, I want you to stop and think for a moment. Some of you that may not even be churchgoers, why do you think that there are over 900 and some odd denominations? And why do you think that there's all of these split up ideas of different church entity and different versions? And this church says, we got the truth. And this guy says, we've got the truth. And this one over here says, no, we do. And no, we do. And nothing but a bunch of fussing and fighting until simple people, humble people like yourself, just trying to make a living for your family or start a family. Amen. Look around at the church world. You think it's the awfulest mess I've ever seen in my life. Why would I want to waste my time with church? Well, don't you see? That is a tactic of the devil. That is exactly what Satan wanted to do, especially in the time we are living in. He wanted to so confuse life and confuse the world and make it so muddy and so dismal that it's hard to see what is actually the truth of the hour. But this is the reason why that we believe that God in the last day has promised to send us a messenger or a voice of God that could speak to the people and solve all of that confusion and take them back to the Bible and show them what true thus saith the Lord really was. We've had such a man in the last day, but even amongst our own people, amongst our own groups, and I'm talking to you that follow this last day message, we've got so much confusion and all kinds of dissections and dissensions. One don't agree with this one and that and the other, and we've allowed the devil to do the same thing with us that he done with the Pentecostal, the Methodist, the Presbyterian, all the rest of them. Amen. But if we are truly God's children, hear me tonight. Jesus said, and all he said, let every man's word be a lie and mine be the truth. He said, amen, my sheep will hear my voice. That's his word. And a stranger they cannot follow. Amen. If you are truly the sheep of God, I don't care what is shaken before you. Amen. God is obligated to show you what is the truth and what is thus saith the Lord. Amen. Now don't feel strange at me for hollering. I'm just happy with my hollering. Amen. I'm not yelling at you, but I feel good. And if you felt like I felt, you'd holler too. I promise that. The Holy Spirit is sure here. I believe him. Amen. And we realize then that the Holy Ghost then is trying to bring us to an evident reality. Folks, listen to me. You are dying every time your heart beats. Every moment that you live on this earth, you are coming to your last moments in life. Amen. Every one of us have an appointment with that great creature called death. Amen. And unless we have a resurrection life or a resurrection power on the inside of us, this body is going to die.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. I don't care how many vitamins you poke down it. I don't care how many times you run on the treadmill or try to make it live in a clean, healthy way. You are dying.
Amen.
The Bible said very clearly, the day you eat thereof is the day you die.
Amen.
And man for 6,000 years has been in a dying condition. But the Lord Jesus said, I come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. God's desire was not that we would wind up into all of this turmoil and chaos. And you know, you see it on television programs and movies alike. People making fun of God. That God just sits around watching things happen and watching babies die and watching people get slaughtered. And they don't attribute the real culprit behind it. That's the devil. But then you say, well, then why doesn't God put a stop to it? I'm glad you asked me. I'm going to tell you tonight. You see, in God was all of these characteristics. In Him was to be a Savior. In Him was to be a Father. In Him was to be a healer. In Him was to be a deliverer. But in order for Him to express that, He had to create an angel that would match Him footstep for footstep. Enter Lucifer into the great drama. He was created in such a manner. Think of this. Holy angels of God that had never smoked, never drank, never cursed, never lied, never committed adultery. And He preached to them. And those angels listened to the devil and walked out of a perfect heaven to enter into hell, which was created for the devil and his angels, and have been there ever since. Now, why do you think you struggle? Well, you say, if God loved me, that's the trick of the devil right there, to make you think the Lord don't love you. If God loved me, why am I going through all of these things? Because you're just like Him. Inside of you are great characteristics that must be expressed. And the only way to express them is with something negative. Woo! Come on, somebody. Now, you understand that if life was just a bowl of peaches and everything went right, we would never appreciate the grace of Almighty God. I mean, forget about singing Amazing Grace. It wouldn't even be amazing. It wouldn't even be enthusing. God's grace wouldn't even faze us if we didn't understand what it was like to be a sinner and to be lost and to be undone and to have misery in our heart. Some of you sitting here this evening, maybe you're in this condition, I don't know, but did you ever stop when you put your head on your pillow of a night and you just feel that deep something and you just feel lost and you feel out of control and you feel like life is just floating around on a great river and you have no chance to control it? Don't you understand? That is Almighty God dealing with your heart, and He's trying to show you, yes, your life is out of control. Yes, everything is chaos, but I am your answer. Amen. The Bible has the answer for every question that Satan can throw before us. Amen. We just have to be wise enough, spiritual enough, quiet enough. Now, I don't mean to worship the Lord kind of quiet. I mean still in our mind. Still in our feeling, patient, waiting upon the Lord to give us understanding from His Word. I challenge you tonight that if God is a God of His Word, He can keep what He said. And now some of you, and I feel that anointing here, I don't know where it may be coming from, but I almost feel like a prove it to me. I don't have to prove it to you. If God is if the Word is Him and He is His Word, then I don't have to prove nothing to you. You believe Him and He will show you what He can do with it. Amen. Come on, some of you saints, help me preach tonight. Amen. I'm not talking about me having to vindicate anything. We've had too much of that in the last day. One man trying to vindicate another, and one man trying to vindicate himself. We don't need man's vindication. What we need is a vindication from thus saith the Lord, from the Holy Ghost Himself, which is nothing more than Jesus Christ. Right. Jesus is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is Jesus. Amen. I don't believe in a Trinity, and I don't believe in a Twinity. I don't believe He's three, and I don't believe He's two. I believe He's one God. Amen. Right. One God that had a Son. His name was Jesus Christ. I'm not Jesus only either. That Son had to suffer. He had to die. He had to be afflicted. He had to go through torments. But He was raised on the third day. Hallelujah. And He was raised for our justification. And God set Him on the right hand, which is power. Amen. And set Him there with a name above every name. Let me tell you something tonight. His name is greater than corona. His name is greater than cancer. His name is greater than depression. His name is greater than anything you've ever experienced in your life. His name, the name of Jesus, is the greatest name that could ever be spoken from human lips. Oh, I wish somebody would say that name one time. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Anytime you're going through anything, all you got to do is bow your head and whisper that name.
Amen.
It'll cause demons to flee and sinners to awake.
Amen.
Amen. Never was a name given that man could be saved by than the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's why we don't look to any man's name. Whether it be a prophet of God or an evangelist of God or a pastor of God. We don't look to any man's name. We look to Jesus Christ. He is the reason for the season. Amen. And that season's fall, that season's winter, that season's spring, that season's summer. Amen. He is the reason for the time. Amen. And He's always my reason. The reason I can live is because of Him. Amen. He is wonderful. Counselor. Mighty God. The Prince of Peace. Everlasting Father. He is a healer. He is Jehovah Tiskanu, Jehovah Shalom. He is Jehovah El Shaddai. He's all Jehovah Rapha, the Lord my healer. It's all Jesus Christ. It's all Jesus Christ. Now He knowing the end from the beginning. Now think of that remark. He knew the very end from the beginning. And Him knowing the end from the beginning, Brother Nate, He knew exactly what the devil was going to do. He knew exactly how He was going to operate. And He knows everything going on in this filthy old wicked world we live in right here tonight. Nothing surprises God. Come on, somebody help me tonight. Nothing, nothing, nothing surprises the Lord Jesus. It didn't take Him by surprise when Putin decided to invade Ukraine. It didn't take Him by surprise when Hitler decided to invade Poland. It didn't take Him by surprise when you woke up this morning in a bad mood. Had you shouting, now you might be patting a little bit. Amen. It had God. God is not surprised when things go wrong in our life. The Bible tells us there is a purpose. There is a plan. There is a reason that all things come to our lives. And Satan cannot move unless he's been given permission. Hear that. Satan cannot move against you unless he's been given permission. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Right, so the first thing He made was angels. Now, if you've got a pen and paper, you like to take down notes, I want to give you several scriptures to go to tonight. And if you can't get them all down, if I move quickly, then we've got the tapes there. You can go back. I call them tapes. I was born in the 70s. Ain't no such thing as a cassette tape. That's history. That's ancient of days. They're not even a tape around. Amen. But anyways, the recording I'm trying to say. All right. Now, Genesis chapter 19, verse 1. Remember, there came two angels to Sodom. When Lot was sitting in the gates of Sodom, he rose up to meet these two angels. But don't forget, when Abraham saw the three coming to him, he saw one angel accompanied by these two. He looked at the three and he said, "My Lord." Amen, Brother Price. That's pretty plain, isn't it? Amen. He said, "My Lord." Now, he saw God was standing there in a human tabernacle. You say, now, how could it be that? Well, then tell me, how did he know the secrets of her heart? When he's sitting there in the tent and he sees Sarah that back there behind him, she kind of sniggers up. You'll be a mother. She sniggers up her sleeve a little bit and says, "What in the world did she laugh for?" Sarah said, "I didn't laugh." Lie right in the face of God. You know why God didn't take her? Because she was a part of Abraham. You know why the devil can't touch you and I? Because we're a part of Jesus Christ. Amen. I was in Him before the foundation of the world. Amen. Just like my girls was inside of me, just like that baby was inside daddy over there. Amen. So was I inside of God before there was a sun, before there was a moon, before there was a star, before there was anything. I was already a son in Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, and that word is what we cling to, because that word is us. We are that word, and the word is us. Right? Notice the angels went down to Sodom. Now watch. In Paul picks this up in Hebrews 13:2. "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." Wonder how many times we've come to church and God sent an angel down in a 6'1" or 6'2" or 5'8" body and sat amongst us. We show some bad attitude or look out the corners of our eyes. Who in the devil is that sitting over there? And God sent an angel down just to test saints, see if they'll have a right attitude or not.
Amen. Come on.
That's why you should always be nice to everybody.
Amen.
Smile, smile. Always smile. Have a smile on your face. Amen. People are always running around. Brother Ben, I wish I had power to raise the dead. I said, I wish you'd have power to raise the corners of your mouth every now and then. Amen. God don't want you frowning. God don't want you being unhappy. He wants you to be happy. They that are happy in the Lord say so.
Amen.
Now watch, the Holy Spirit then is going to show us that when Jesus comes, Jesus does not come in the form of an angel. He was made lower than the angels. Now, if you'd like to write this down, Psalm 8 and 5, thou hast made him lower than the angels. All right, now watch now. Jesus then did not come to this world as an angel, because an angel doesn't understand you. All right, now I'm amongst a mixed audience, but I'm also amongst a mature audience. So I'm going to say a couple things,
Amen.
And you just understand me, okay?
Amen.
An angel has no reproductive system.
Right.
An angel cannot reproduce.
That's right.
Therefore, when an angel falls, there is no redemption, which means to bring back to the original. There is no redemption for an angel. So those angels that fell in heaven, they became demons.
Right.
There's no redemption for them. The Bible tells us in Jude that they were bound in chains of everlasting darkness. But I'll, glory to God, Brother Jerry, I brought my shouting shoes tonight, and I'm a little reluctant to use them because some of y'all look about halfway, three sheets to scared to the wind right now. Amen. But listen, I ain't killed nobody yet. In 31 years, I ain't hurt nobody neither. Amen. And what I'm trying to tell you is that the Spirit of God, amen, in this last day is trying to help us understand, amen, that when Adam fell in the Garden of Eden, listen to me, amen, when he fell in the Garden of Eden, amen, God went running through that garden calling, Adam, where are you at, boy? Where are you at, Adam? Come back. I'd like you to find me one scripture when them angels fell from heaven where the Lord even shed a tear. Those were created for service. He knew what they would be and where they would wind up. They were not his kids. But when Adam fell in the Garden of Eden, hallelujah, amen, it moved and stirred the heart of God until God said, where is my son at? Where is he at? There's redemption for you and I. Why? Because we were born underneath that tree.
Amen.
If you don't know what the tree of knowledge of good and evil is, if you don't know what the original sin is, all you got to do is look where you come from. Your mama is a tree and you're her fruit.
Amen.
Amen. In the beginning, the devil found a channel. He found a place he could go to that he could impregnate the human race with his lies. Amen. And he went to the woman. That's the reason she's not permitted to preach the gospel. That's the reason she's not permitted to sit in business meetings and things. That's why the Bible said the man would be Lord over her, not a doormat now. Any good godly man won't make a woman a doormat, and shame on anybody that does such a thing.
Amen.
Right, no, she's not a doormat, she's your rib.
Right.
Amen, and Paul said, treat her like you'd treat yourself. That's right. Amen, that's just scripture, I can't help it. Amen, but remember, the Bible teaches us that God, amen, loved the church, amen, and he loved the church, and he wants the man to love the woman just the same. But she is not permitted to move into that office. Why? She was the place that Satan went to, amen, in order to reproduce Cain, who was of that evil one. Amen, you can never place that murderous, ungodly, filthy spirit that Cain had of ever coming out of God. It came out of his daddy, which was the devil. Naturally, his father was the serpent, who walked like a man, talked like a man. But spiritually, it was the devil who did it. And when you see people today in a condition where they talk beyond their own wisdoms and they speak beyond their own understanding, that's the devil doing that to a person. Amen. Christ don't want us to be some great blowed up something another, some great puffed up proud something. He wants us to be humble and open up our hearts. When you look on both of those lines, you look down Cain's line, that's the artificer of music and the artificer of great scientific things. But look at Abel's side. Humble farmers, little brother Larry. Amen. Little fellas like that got out, didn't have nothing that the world thought much about them. Destitute and thrown out of every church look like. Amen. But that's the one God chose to tabernacle himself in.
Amen.
As I started to tell you, amen, not only did God, amen, go running through the garden looking for Adam, but that's what the Bible said. Man don't seek God at any time. Amen. Let me tell you something in the name of the Lord. You are not here by accident. You are not here because you chose to be. You are not here because someone forced you in this pew. Amen. You are here because God, my Father, the Lord Jesus, has drawn you into this place.
Amen.
That's why you're here tonight. He drew you into the fold, amen, so that you can feel His Holy Spirit and receive from the promise of God. Amen. If I don't hurry, I'm not going to hit that 9 o'clock hour. Amen. Amen. But listen, amen, understand that the angels of the Lord then were commissioned to do a job. They're commissioned to serve the people of God. My Bible tells me that they don't go on campaigns here and there and everywhere else, but they encamp about those that fear Him.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Now, someone said to me, well, angels was in the Old Testament. They wasn't in the New Testament, all right? Then tell me, who was that that let Peter out of that prison when he walked out of that Walmart sliding door he walked out of? Because the Bible said the angel of the Lord came in, amen, and appeared him unto Peter and led him out of the prison. Come on, preach to me a little while. Amen, that's exactly right. Amen, who was it that stood by Paul when the men were in the shipwreck time? And he said, don't you fear. He said, the angel of whose servant I am is standing right here next to me telling me to be all right. Amen. And in the last day, amen, God sent a prophet to this last day by the name of William Branham, and his message was confirmed by the visitation of an angel of the Lord. Amen. Not only was it confirmed, but it was also broadcast around the world 7 times. All of Brother Branham's contemporaries knew that the Spirit of God, amen, was accompanying that little humble ministry. And what did that ministry do? It discerned hearts. Now, I want to share this with you, so you may not be familiar with what I'm getting ready to say. That's all right. But I'm just going to share this anyway because I feel led to, and I'm just going to bear my heart if it's all right. Amen. But don't forget that when Abraham was sitting in the tent behind him, amen, he discerned the heart of Sarah. Amen. The Lord discerned the heart of Sarah when he's sitting there with Abraham. All right. And the last day, this little prophet of God walked up to the platform, amen, standing in front of 10,000, and said, let's see if Elohim is still here today. And he would turn his back to the audience, and by way of vision, amen, the Lord would call out the diseases, the names, and whatever was going on that person's life, and He would identify that person sitting in the congregation, and then He would turn around and say, is He not the same yesterday, today, and forever? Amen. It's been proven to us in this time. Amen. Now, we don't worship the angel. We don't worship Brother Branham, and shame on people that do such a thing. Amen. You get on the internet, look His name up, you're going to find all kinds of trash, but let me announce to you tonight, we don't worship Brother Branham. We don't worship anything but Jesus Christ. Him only will I bow at the feet of. I'll only be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. I live, I work, I eat, I survive, I exist on the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If the church feels that way, holler amen one time. Amen. I didn't say it. I said holler. It'll make you feel good to get that released out of there. Amen. I promise you, sometimes you got to get a little release going in there. Amen. You get built up really big, and some people got into the bar and they have a big blowout. Amen. They drink and they drink and they drink until they blow it out. Well, I'd rather you blow it out with a good hearty amen and hallelujah. Amen. I like to get drunk, though, but on new Holy Ghost wine. Oh, you say that ain't right. Let me tell you, when they come out of the upper room, he said they looked at them men and women staggering on the Holy Ghost and said, these are not drunken like you think they're drunk. But this is that. Amen. I still like to get drunk. I just do it on a different substance. Woo! Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Now watch now. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 30, Jesus referring to the resurrection, and he said, neither in the resurrection will they marry or give in marriage, but they will be like the angels of God in heaven. Now what Jesus is referring to is that at the end of this life, when the second coming, the resurrection, the rapture, and all of that is completed, our bodies will be changed into the likeness of His own glorious body. Amen. Now listen to me. The thing that brought you here was sexual desire. That's the tree. Every one of us have eaten from that tree. Your mother and father ate from it. That's what brought you here. In sin my mother conceived me, and I was shaping iniquity and came to the world speaking lying. I don't care how long you go to church. You can't escape that birth. I don't care how holy you make yourself or message people how many books you pack under your arm. You can't escape that first birth. The only way to escape it is to be born again. Amen. To be converted. Amen. To let the Lord Jesus come in there and take. There's a little snake that lives in there. It's got to be burned out of there. And the dove of God has got to enter into that place. Amen. To bring new life. Now, Jesus saying that in the resurrection, we would be like the angels. What's he talking about? In other words, when you come off that tree. Now, you anybody that's ever worked with plants or vegetation or anything, you know you take that plant, that little seed. Every potential that it's ever going to be is inside of it.
Right.
If it's an apple or a pear or a pomegranate or mango or whatever it is, well, everything it's going to be is in there. The characteristics of its leaves, the way that the bark looks, how tall it'll grow, how short it'll be, how skinny or fat or whatever it is. It's all programmed into the DNA of that seed.
Right.
All right? When you came to the world, I came to the world in sin. Amen. Moses said that the iniquity of the fathers would be visited all the way down to the next generations. So what are you sitting here tonight? What am I here tonight? I am a culmination. I am a summary, a sum, amen, of every sin that was ever committed from my forefathers all the way back to Adam and Eve. Amen. In my cells, in my body, amen, exists no good thing, Paul said, is inside this body. Amen. No good thing dwelleth inside of me. I have nothing in me that I can brag about. If I go far enough up the family tree, amen, your grandma shot my grandpa and your dog slapped my cat. We're all guilty of something down the road. Amen. But let me tell you what Jesus did for you and I. Amen. He come to take all of that out of us. And when our bodies are changed, not only will he take all of them sexual glands out of us, which is part of the fall, but he'll take all of them impatient strains from your mama, them temper strains from your daddy, all of them things you struggle with, it'll be completely erased from this flesh. Oh, how some of you are sitting still right now. I'll never know it. Amen. He's going to change this body to be completely different from what it is right now. Can you imagine walking streets of gold and never, never feel impatient again?
Amen.
Never feel anger boiling up through your ears. You'll be more like the angels. He'll create you without the ability to procreate. You'll be made in perfection.
Amen.
That's what we're heading to.
Amen.
Which is why you want to receive the Holy Ghost. Because if you die in your sins, there's nobody like that for you. But if you're a Christian tonight, if you've got His Holy Spirit inside of you, come on somebody. Come on somebody. Oh, if He's on the inside of your heart tonight. Amen. All of that is going to go away one of these days. Praise His holy name. Amen. Can I go a bit further? Thank you. I wasn't going to give you a chance to answer because you might say no. I'm just going to go quickly. Amen. Watch this. He took not upon himself the nature of angels, Hebrews 2 and 16, but took on him the seed of Abraham.
Right.
Now notice that angels do not have infinite knowledge. Mark 13:32, Jesus said, the man knows not the day nor the hour, nor the angels which are in heaven when God shall come back for us. In Revelation 8:1, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. Nobody knew what that was all about. Let me say something to you Bible-studied people in here. Will you want me to explain the seventh seal to you in about 30 seconds? It's love, L-O-V-E, from Genesis to Revelation. From the beginning of the book to the end of the book, that's every mystery. Everything God's ever wanted to accomplish is solved in four little letters, L-O-V-E. My God, want somebody, holler amen if you believe it. Amen. I said holler amen if you believe it. Love is the whole key of all of it. Hallelujah. That's the reason Jesus came. That's the reason Jesus died. That's the reason he resurrected again. His love, love for his children and love for his people. The whole program of God, the Bible and everything, is all summed up in one thing. God so loved you.
Amen.
Now remember, he projected his love to the world, but he loved you.
Right.
Big difference between the two. Oh, thank you, Lord. God's great mystery. It was a secret. Not even the angels of heaven were permitted to know what God's plan was. So you see, when that dumb, old, stupid, dirty devil pulls something and God springs his little trap and he gets so mad and he tucks his tail between his legs and stomps back down into hell mad again, he does so because the Lord Jesus never reveals the secret. And whenever he plots, sometimes he'll lay a trap for you 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 months, even years. And he waits to spring that trap. And by the time you get there, you're 50 steps ahead of that trap. But you know that makes that devil so mad he can't stand it. But you know why God does it? He loves you, that's why.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, praise his name. Notice in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, unto whom it was revealed. He said, they did minister the things which now reported unto you by them. They preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost coming down from heaven, which things the angels desired to look into. Now, let me take a little time on this. Thank you, Brother Dallas. Amen. I appreciate that. When I hit the half hour mark, if I hand you a little green, will you say another half hour when we get there? I may need it. I'm just kidding. I may need it. Amen. But listen to this. The angels of God desired to look into your life. Let me tell you why. An angel of the Lord doesn't understand redemption. Brother Tom, one thing that you and I both know is that if we are a sinner and he is our Savior, anybody that's ever experienced a touch from God knows what it means to be saved. Amen. They know what it means to have his hand reach down and touch you and bring you out of a life of sin. Amen. No matter who you are or what your name is or what church you belong to, everybody can know him as a Savior. Amen. I don't care who you are. Right. You can know him as a Savior. Amen. And you say, but does he love me enough for that? Well, I'll ask you a question. If he doesn't love you enough for that, then why do we still come to church like this? Why are there still Bibles available? Why do you still have that old aggravating boss or somebody in your worst always begging, come to church, come on, serve the Lord with me. Where do you think that comes from? God has a way of getting your attention. Amen. And he uses man as his agent to get your attention. Amen. Human beings are God's vehicles. That's right. If God's going to drive you somewhere, he's going to use his vehicle to do it. Man is God's vehicle. It always has been. He could have chose the sun to preach, the moon to preach, all the stars to preach, but he chose man to do the job. And through the foolishness of preaching, he used that to confound the wisdom of the world and reveal his secret unto babes such as would learn. Amen. Now, brothers, that's not babes like you see on calendars. That means little babies. Amen. Just to be clear with you so you understand me. Amen. That's babes such as would learn. Those, amen, that are willing to sit at the feet of Jesus and be taught. Amen. Now you say, but Brother Ben, I'm a sinner. You don't know my past. You don't know where I've come from. Yes, but I got something I want to tell you tonight. Your past does not define your future. What you come from does not define where you're going to be tomorrow. What you used to be is not an example or a benchmark of what God can do with you tomorrow. Come on, somebody preach to me a minute. Amen. Listen, the Bible talked about all kinds of horrendous lives. Amen. When Jesus met the woman at the well, amen, she was a prostitute worthy of being stone according to the Israelite law. Amen. But Jesus said, he that drinks of this water. Amen. Wasn't that what the vision said? The water, said the Lord. He that drinks of this water, let him come and he'll never thirst again. That's right. He's not looking for a good resume. Uh-uh. Right? No. He's looking for a babe heart. A willing heart. Someone willing to say, I can be touched and I can be taught. Because if you're not teachable and you're not touchable, then you might as well just forget it. Walk out now and just forget church altogether. But if you're willing to be taught, if you're willing to be touched, God can do things for you you never even dreamed he could do it. See, the problem is, folks, we're trying to control everything. We micromanage our life right down to the very moment. We use our electronic calendars to say when we're even going to go to the bathroom sometimes. But God don't want us to be in that kind of control. He wants us to lose control so he can take over. Amen. Oh, as you say, I've been molested, or I've been abused, or I was raped, or I was a drug addict, or I was this, I was that. I don't care what you was. Your past don't define your future. Amen. My Bible tells me I can do all things in Christ, which strengthens me. Amen. That's the scripture. And the Bible is still true. If any man will come, let him come and drink of the waters of life. Amen. That he might have eternal life. And if any man thirsts, let him come to me. Amen. Not to a church, not to a preacher, not to just a Bible book. Amen. But to the Lord Jesus. You say, but I don't know how to contact him. Yes, you do. You take the same faith that gives you in your heart that little feeling, something pulling inside of you to know that there is a God. And you just make a connection with that little pull. And when you make that connection with that little pull, you just start saying, Lord, I'm tugging on my end too. Yes, sir. Amen. You make a pull and I'll make a pull. Amen. And if you move toward him, watch and see if he won't move toward you. Amen. But you got to take the step first. Now, let's get this, let's wrap this up. Coming up to the angels of the Lord. They don't understand what it means for someone to be saved. So the day that you come to give your heart to God. Now, I want you to think of this. Me as a believing Christian, let's say I come to the altar one night and I decide I'm going to give my heart to the Lord. I'm going to get saved. Yes. And I'm going to say, now, Lord, I feel that I'm a sinner. You are my Savior and I'm under conviction. I want to get right. You come up here to this altar and you start praying through and you receive something from the Lord. Do you realize that the angels of God look out of heaven and look right down on you and they investigate you? They look at your expressions to see what's going on with you. It's so curious to them, strange to them, see tears running out of your eyes, to see a joyous expression come on your face when you start saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your mercy, God. Thank you for touching me, Lord. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your overlooking all of my stupidity. The angels of God, this word, when it says they desire to look, it actually means they stoop. They get down and they look. What's going on with them down there in time? I don't understand it and I can't comprehend it. But that's right, they don't understand redemption. But you and I can. And we can understand what it means to be lost and wayward and for a divine hand to pull us back in gear.
Amen.
Now I'm going to go a little further with you. Not only can you be saved like that, but we had a man in this last day that told us that maybe your mother was one that prayed you in. She's been gone now perhaps. But those prayers followed you around all the days of your life. And the night you got saved, she might have been standing over there by the throne room. But that angel of the Lord who is a messenger, he left that altar and he made a trip back up into heaven and went back to mama and said, I want to let you know them prayers you prayed? Your boy got it tonight. Your girl got it tonight. No wonder the Bible said there is rejoicing from the angels of the Lord when one sinner gives his heart in repentance or her heart in repentance. Think about how that other realm out there, it's a beehive of activity. You see, in this room right here, we sit, we see each other, we feel the influence of one another. Amen. Their bad breath or their good breath or whatever they are. Amen. We got the influence of it here. But just beyond that closed door, there might be people back there in the nursery. There might be people back in the sound room. There might be people back in these doors back there. I don't know what's going on there. It's another realm that I don't understand. But there's something going on behind those realms that's beyond me. Now, if you don't believe in the supernatural, hold on with me a little bit. Let me share this with you. Right now, as we sit here at this very moment, now I, as a little side hustle, as we call it, I'm full-time in preaching, but I fell in love with teaching English online as a second language. And I teach Chinese kids and Polish people and things, English as a second language. And right now, as we sit here at this very moment, it's 9:00 in the morning in China. Right now, people are getting up and going to work. They're getting on school buses, they're riding bicycles, and with the billion people or so that's in China right now, there is a beehive, a mecca, a metropolis of activity going on right now. Anybody hear them? Anybody see them? Anybody feel them? Taste them? Huh? Smell them? But yet it's going on just the same. All it takes is for somebody to open up that realm. Maybe through Zoom, maybe through some satellite, maybe through some picture. They open up that realm and let you see what's going on over there. Well, that's what happened in this last day. God sent a man down here, amen, as the seventh angel. That was a door or a window or a lens into the supernatural realm to let us see what activity was going on in another realm. That's why we know what the devil is, what he acts like, and how his nature is. But that's also how we know God in his word and in his Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah and hallelujah. That's what's happened to us in the last day.
Yes.
All we got to do is look through the window. The Bible is God's window as well. Those prophets and those men were looking glasses. They were windows to see into that realm to see what's happening.
Amen.
How do I know that Jesus will still save a prostitute? As I can look through the window and see when he done it one time.
Right.
And if he done it one time, he'll have to do it every other time or he was wrong on the first time he did it. Amen. Stay with me a little while. Amen. Is my 30 minutes up yet? Amen. Now watch now. Hallelujah. Now listen, in Matthew chapter 4, let's hit this and let's go home. All right. The Bible said in 4:11. Now here, Satan has tempted Jesus again and again and again and again. The Bible said, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Now the word that he uses here for ministered,
is in the Greek, it's diakio. You don't have to remember that. Just be impressed that I knew it, okay? But what this means in the Greek is it means the angels ministered, as in a waiter or a waitress would serve patrons at a table. So God set Jesus in the array of the battle. He's fighting the devil. The devil's throwing everything he's got at him, and Jesus takes that word, it is written, it is written, it is written. That's the only thing that's going to back the devil up in this last day, friends, is that word of God. Come on, somebody say amen. It's the only thing that's going to back him up is that word, and not just parts of it, every word of God. Now, here's what I love. When Jesus was low, sitting at the table, as he said, he sets me at his banqueting table, and his banner over me is love. Jesus was low on water. He was low on strength. He was low on, perhaps we'll say, joy. He was low on many, many other things. But the angels of God would be just like you'd be sitting at a table and be running out of something, and you say, excuse me, I would like more Diet Pepsi over here, please. Could I get more Coke? Coke Zero. We need some silverware. We need some napkins. We need a fork. We need a knife. That's what the angels of the Lord were sent for. So do you realize, as you're sitting here tonight, this is how much God hates you, okay? He hates you so much, he gave you your own personal waiters to wait on you. So if you have a need tonight, let's say you have a need in your body for healing, all you got to do is call for one of the waiters. I need some virtue in my body. I need some healing in my body. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. If you need the Holy Ghost, all you got to do is call on the waiter. Say, I need a refilling of the Holy Ghost. If you need salvation, if you need forgiveness, if you need a problem solved, all you got to do is call on the waiters to come and serve you at the table of the Lord.
That's right. That's right.
But you have not, because you ask not. So if y'all ain't gonna ask, y'all ain't gonna get. Y'all understand me now? Y'all don't ask, y'all don't get. You gotta ask if you wanna get. Ah, but isn't that where the devil shows up? What does he say? You're not worthy. You're bound for hell. You're a sinner. You know what I like to do to that dumb, old, stupid, dirty, ignorant devil when he talks that way to me? I like to remind him, excuse me, sir. If I understand right, you are also on your way to hell. You are also lost. You are also no good and unworthy. So how can you tell me what it means to be saved or that I'm not saved when you don't even know what salvation looks like?
That's right.
When he comes, you need to get, you don't even have the Holy Ghost. He tells me, I ain't got the Holy Ghost. I said, how do you know? You ain't got the Holy Ghost. How do you know what the Holy Ghost looks like? Sometimes he'll say, you ain't nothing but a devil. I say, takes one to know one. Amen. The problem is, friends, we knuck down. We put up with it. We let the devil tell us all manner of everything instead of taking God at his word and saying, my Lord Jesus is bigger than the devil. He's bigger than my problem. Amen. That's why David wasn't afraid of Goliath. Come on, somebody. Amen. Because he wasn't looking at Goliath. He was looking at how big his God was. That's why he was looking at him that way. The angels of the Lord are here for service, to serve you. So what do you have need of? What are you sitting here tonight carrying that you don't have to carry? Because see, here's the key of it. A lot of times we think we've got to carry the load because we're tough, right? Us men. We don't cry. We pick the back ends of trucks up and, you know, we're tough. And until we get sick and then we're the biggest babies in the world. Woo! Come on, brothers, preach to me. Don't die on me out there. Come on, testing 1, 2, 3, testing 1, 2, 3. Right. Yet we feel like, oh, I've got to shoulder this. But listen, this is what his scripture said. Cast all of your care. All. A-L-L. Cast all of your cares on me, for I care for you. But you want to know a real secret? He can't care if you don't care. You tie his hands. You put brakes on deity. If you don't care enough to find out what is truth, There's mysteries that's supposed to be revealed in the last day. You want to know what one of those great mysteries is? You. 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 Now, friends, don't tell me you're not a mystery. All one has to do is walk through and maybe take a stroll through Amazon, the library section, or go through Books a Million or one of these places and look at all of the hundreds of psychological books that demonstrate over and over again that we really still don't get it. 1,001 ways to cure your anxiety. And when you get done reading the book, you still need 1,002 because you still ain't figured it out yet.
That's right.
435 ways to love your wife better. And when you get done, you're thinking, oh my God, who was the nutcase that wrote that tripe? They prove over and over again that they don't understand the human being. But God, who is my creator. Brother Jerry, he said, he knew my secret parts. That's them things you don't want nobody knowing. That's them things you hide from anybody. I don't care who they are. You don't want nobody knowing them parts. But you don't need to tell nobody. You don't even need to tell Jesus. He already knows it. And he is not looking for us to make ourselves tough and to show ourselves to be strong and stand in his presence and say, look at me, Lord. I'm a big boy. He wants you to come with your head bowed and humble heart and say, Lord, my only hope is in you. You alone, you're the only one that can do it for me. Now see, if a man or woman is willing to go that far, then it won't be too long. You'll feel an angel of the Lord ministering to you.
Amen.
Now I'm going to give you a little shocker, all right? But Paul said that the angels had been made ministering spirits. Now for the last 31 years of my ministry, and I'm embarrassed to say that in front of these preachers that have got much more caliber behind them than me. But in my years of preaching, there hasn't been hardly a time, Brother Larry, that I don't step to this platform, but what I don't feel is supernatural presence pulling behind me. You know why that's there? Because there's some people out here that may have some empty Diet Pepsi cups, that may need more napkins, that may need more silverware, or an extra order of fries.
Amen.
And he's there to minister and give to the people what it is that they need. Well, you say, all this preaching, what do I do, Brother Ben? It's very simple. Let go and let God have his wonderful way. Let go and let God have his way. You know what he said? Your sorrow will vanish. Your night turn to day. Let go and let God have his wonderful way. Will you bow your heads with me just a moment? I'm going to hold the musicians if they will, just everybody. I want everybody to be still a moment. As I come in here this evening, I was quite torn on which ways to go and which ways to preach and what to say and what to do. But as I sat down in the pew back there, about the time the Holy Spirit began to move in the congregation and folks began singing, I just felt a presence wash over me. And I had a clear direction. And I've been compelled to do this tonight by the bidding of the Holy Spirit, so don't think me odd or strange. But I feel led to open this altar tonight to anyone that is a sinner that would like to get saved. Maybe you'd like us to lay our hands on you to pray for you, to ask God to do for you what you don't feel like you can do for yourself. And I want to open this altar up to anyone that would like to come and talk to the Lord in that way. Now, if you're a sinner here tonight, you may not have understood everything, but there's one thing you did understand. You understood God was in this place tonight. You felt him. You felt him. You know he was. You feel the anointing of that on your spirit. Now listen, I know. I'm a Bible reader too. I know it's not in the altar call, the position of your body, but I'm telling you, I felt led of the Lord to do it this way tonight. Sometimes the only way that you can make an effort is in some of the simple little things that we sometimes overlook. The altar call ain't got nothing to do with your salvation. But maybe it would be an opportunity for you to get away from family member or get away from whoever's sitting next to you, just to get alone by yourself to the Lord and talk a while. I want to open that opportunity to you. And if you'd like to come and have somebody pray for you that you're lost, maybe you're backslid tonight. You don't know Him as your Savior. You don't know Him in the power of the resurrection like you used to. And you'd like for Him to restore that old life that you once knew. You'd like Him to give it back to you. The Bible says, though your sins be as scarlet, they can be white as snow. He'll forgive you even now. You say, oh, I've gone too far. Impossible. And I know that's impossible because of this. You wouldn't be here tonight feeling the way you feel if that was really the truth. As long as you've got something inside of you that tells you, I need to be right, I want to be right, that's God moving inside of you trying to get you right. Now, God bless you. We're going to sing it again. You come, and may the Lord bless you as you come. Let go and let God. Will you stand with me? His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. All you got to do is step out. Your sorrows will vanish. Your nights turn today. Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Sing it now. Close your eyes. Raise your hands. Let go and let God have. Sinner, come now. If the Lord's dealing with your heart, why don't you just come stand here at the front? We'll pray for you. Let go and let God have His way. Your sorrows will vanish. Your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Bow your heads with me one time. Now, Father, the call has been given. At Thy word, I've done exactly what You asked me to. Lord, I commit this audience into Your hands. Many of them, Father, that have been saved for a long time. Many of them that have been serving You many, many more years than I've even been alive. Lord, some here tonight that no doubt You've been dealing and speaking with their heart. Now, Lord, we're not going to force them. We're not going to beg them, not going to plead them. If tonight's not the night they feel compelled to move, at least tonight they know that the opportunity was given. Lord Jesus, You can take that opportunity and You can make something great out of it for them. Lord, if they're a backslider or a sinner in any way, may the Holy Ghost take their lives into Your hands tonight. Lord Jesus, may You take them in Your hands like clay, mold them into the image of Jesus Christ if it be pleasing to You. Then, Father, for the rest of Your children here tonight that might be struggling with this or that, burdens, troubles, questions, don't understand this or that, may the Holy Spirit come into this place tonight. May the angels of the Lord stand here to be able to minister to every son and daughter of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Let go and let. Come on, musicians. His wonderful, amen. Let go and let God have His way. Your sorrows will vanish. Your nights turn to day. Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let me tell you how real this is. Some time ago in a prayer line, when the prophet of God was standing there talking to these two women that come up, one had stomach trouble, the other one had a cancer. And they were neighbors. They lived right down the road one from another, and they'd heard about the meeting and they wouldn't come to be prayed for by the prophet of God. As they went in there, he laid his hands on them, prayed for them, and pronounced the name of Jesus Christ over them. And they went home. And as they went home, they hadn't really experienced anything just yet. Well, one morning, the lady with the stomach trouble woke up and she said, you know, I'm feeling kind of hungry. So she got up and she scrambled some eggs and maybe got some sausage biscuits or whatever and, you know, got her some coffee and she ate that thing down and, hey, that was pretty good. So she scrambled a little bit more and a little bit more and then all of a sudden something struck her. I'm healed. Praise God, I'm healed. Well, she got so excited about it that she ran down to her neighbor who had the cancer, a tumor, hanging on her body. And the neighbor was shaking the sheets around, looking for where that tumor fell off. You know what Brother Branham said? The angel of the Lord was passing through that neighborhood with healing and gave both of them what they were looking for. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, he's passing through here tonight. He can give you what you're looking for. I'm going to turn it back to Brother Eric. God bless you. It has been an absolute honor getting to speak for you tonight.
Amen.
This has been a privilege for me. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. God bless you. Let go and let God have His. Till next time. God bless you, brother. Wait.
God bless you, brother. So good.
Go and let God have His way. Your sorrow will vanish and your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His wonderful way.
Oh, do you feel clean tonight? Do you feel like just something swept through here and just took every problem that you ever had? You know, y'all may be seated just for a second, except for you, Dad. I want you to come up here. You know, I made a list earlier of everybody I invited, and my most important people was my dad and my mom. And I tell you, I applaud them. Come over here, Dad. No. I just got to tell you, just to kind of verify Brother Ben's message, this guy right here. Now, remember I told you last week or two, he always told me, "No, son, when you get over 50 years old, you're going to cry. You're going to cry over anything and everything, you know." But I thank God. I'm getting there. But God come down, like Brother Ben said, and He searched this earth. And He found don't jump too far, just listen me out. But He found a very corrupt, very low man that smoked and drank and did everything that the world handed him.
Like the woman at the well, maybe worse.
Yes. But he reached out his hand, and he accepted what the world gave him. You don't have to do that. But one day his sister came, quit her job, and her husband quit her job in Kentucky, came because God, that was surveying this world, put this guy on their heart. And they came and they begged and pleaded anything they could do to get this guy in church that didn't want nothing to do with the church, but everything to do with the bars. He didn't want nothing to do with the light. He wanted everything to do with the dark. But one day, like that prophet that Ben was talking about, he preached a message called, "I Know a Man Who Can Turn On the Light For You." And when the light turns on, you can see. No, the light was turned on tonight. Now, I feel led to just say this right now. There's some of you out there that were compelled to come up here and make things right with God tonight. I'm just here to tell you, Satan is a power, and he'll keep you in your seat. But just know this, that tonight, when you're laying down your bed, and that devil comes to you and says, "You missed your chance," call him the liar that he is.
Amen.
Because his mercies are new in the morning.
Yes.
The Amen. Joy is yours in the morning. So let me tell you, once God reached down his hand, and he got a hold of this guy. It was the year before I was born. And I've never heard him in 52 years. I've never heard him say a cuss word. I've never heard him say on drink a beer. I've never heard him say a byword like, well, do I say it in church? But yes, yeah. But if me and my brother just say something like a byword, he'd say, oh, boys, don't say that. That's just like saying the other. It's in the spirit in which you say it. But I've got to live 52 years with an example of what a godly man's supposed to be. No, is he perfect? Now, he looks perfect, but he's not perfect. He's still just a sinner saved by the grace of God. It wasn't because he quit smoking he was saved, or because he quit drinking. It was because when God reached down his hand, my dad reached up, and he got pulled out of that ditch.
Say this. I didn't quit nothing. God took it all.
Yes.
Never had to quit anything, so yes. He took it all. Well, maybe I'll say this. I'll say it since everybody's bragging on me there. You know, anyway, I remember at the time that my sister did come from Virginia, and I was a real rank sinner. And whenever the Lord causes somebody to do something, they do it. There's no end to it. He'll do it. But I'll tell you this, even though I said, I'm not going to church, I'm not going to do anything, you can forget it, you can't get me in church. Well, I was in church the next day. So it don't matter what you say you're not going to do. Whatever God has already got the plan, you're going to be doing it. And I tell you what, it's a real good life. I've served the Lord since before he was born, and my wife also. And I can say this, I'll be, I think, 80 years old here in November. And it's been a really good life, I can tell you. Sin will bring you totally down, where it'll destroy your body also. But I can say this right now, if you're a young person, get started now. Whenever God deals with you, get started now. Don't wait later, because see what happens. What you do to your body, you pay as you live. You pay the penalty for what you've done to your body. Either you can live and be in a bad person, still be a Christian later, but it's like this. Why not just turn your body over to him and just be a Christian now, see? But I do love everyone, and I've heard some good things about this church. I was here when it was first started years ago. When Brother Ben was born, I was here before he was born. So you can see when you get old, sometimes my wife says, I don't remember nothing. Hey, I remember what I want to remember. So that's the way it is. So the Lord has really blessed me with Mike and Eric, both of them, sir. Mike and Eric, both of them serving the Lord. And the way it is, you know, me and Eric used to go to church all the time. We'd visit everywhere, Kentucky, Tennessee, wherever. And we got a lot of good memories from that, see. It's whatever God does. If you'll follow it, you won't go wrong. And I can tell you this right now, too, that no matter how old you get, you still remember where God started you from.
Yes.
But if you really get in the Word of God and find out what the real truth is, he knew you before he ever created this world. Yes. So I'm glad I had a good DNA with him. You know why? Because it's been good all the way through. So anyway, I know what I am, and I know who I am because what God has done for me. Amen. And he'll do the same for all of you. And I wasn't going to say anything. I thought Eric passed me up what he said. I was going to help him open the service. Well, I laid low. It didn't do a bit of good, but I can tell you I really appreciate being here with all of you good Christians. And just always just think when you go to bed, pray and just thank the Lord that he's there, that you can pray to him.
Yes.
And he'll be there for you.
Yes.
Amen.
Were those words of wisdom?
Right.
Yes, words of wisdom. See, that's why the Bible says gray hair is wisdom, because you don't get gray hair till you get older and you've traveled the world a little bit, you know. So I've got what little gray hair you see, but just I'm glad I got a little that you can see it's gray. But it's been good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
You know, I don't go to movies too much, and my daughter last week, she goes, "Dad, I'm taking you to dinner. I'm taking you to a movie and whatever." I said, "Okay, I don't pass up a chance to be with my children." And we sat in a movie. It was 2 hours and 45 minutes. It's only been just almost 2 hours right now. Look at what all we've learned in 120 minutes. Is that right? Doing my math right? 120 minutes. We've learned a lot. And there's so much more. One of these days when we have a supernatural body and won't get tired, you know. Sister Kathy, good to see you tonight. This is my mother's friend, Sister Kathy Fazin. And yes, God bless you. She's like a second mother to me, you know, just someone you can look at and you can see God. You can see God. No, my mother right there, Barbara, she's, she's shaking her head. Don't talk about me. But let me tell you something about her. Now I'm going to talk about you. She had been praying here a few months ago, and I've mentioned this here before, but we've got some more people here. But she'd been praying, God, like Ben said, I don't feel worthy. I don't feel like a daughter of God. It don't matter what you feel. Feelings aren't facts. You know, God is the facts. And if he calls you daughter, guess who you are? Your daughter. And she said, but Lord, just show me, you know, if I'm really a daughter of yours. I'm tired of worrying about it. The devil puts worry on you. And so we were sitting in church. We go to church in Lima. There's about 400 people in there that morning, 300 or 400 people. And we are sitting just like the second row in the middle. And the preacher got up and he started to say a few things. And he said, this morning after service, we're going to have baptisms, a couple baptisms. And he started talking about baptism. And it's how you go down is how you'll come up. If you go down sincere, you'll come up sincere. And he started talking about things and how that you'll receive the Holy Ghost. And then it got into where he started talking like, you know, once you get over there, be supernatural body, you know, body change. A glorified body, we call it. And all at once, I'm sitting just about three people over from my mother. It was me and my brother and then my mother. And all at once, I felt just a presence while he was speaking come down. And I just kind of look over at my mother, and she was young again. She had not a gray hair on her head. She didn't have a wrinkle on her face. She's got kind of that crippling arthritis now in her hands. Everything was perfect. It was just like God giving me a preview of, but he wasn't giving it for me. He knew I would tell her about it. And so I was just that messenger. And I told her, I said, you know, that I saw that. And I was actually telling the pastor about it, and I hadn't told her yet. She happened to be standing there listening. She was just tears, like, oh man, he's seen me in a glorified body. That means I am a daughter of God. And after she got all cry-eyed, then she looked over at me and got mad like mothers do. And she goes, why didn't you tell me that? Why didn't you tell me that, you know? And then it wasn't just another service later, the pastor was up there preaching out of hundreds of people in front of him. And he said, you know what I was thinking? And when I think of a real true daughter of God, he goes, Sister Covey, I think of you. And you see, you know, that's like Brother Ben was saying, he doesn't come right down and speak out of the sky, but he speaks through his body. We're his body. We're his arms and his legs. And I often heard these preachers preach, you're the body of Christ. You know, some are an arm, some are a leg. And I thought, if I could be a part of the body and I could choose it, which part would I be? And I thought, I'd be the pointer finger. And I'd be the one pointing everybody to Christ and pointing everybody to the answer. And that's kind of what I did tonight. I've invited a lot of you tonight, and I sure hope that you enjoyed yourselves. Amen. I hope you heard not from man, but I hope you heard from God. And if you don't have a local church, I'd recommend this one right here. I really would. And how many of you that I've invited tonight would like me maybe to... Brother Nate here, there's two great things that you can say to somebody. The first thing is, God bless you. That's the best thing. And the next thing is, I trust you. And Brother Nate here, I told him, I said, hey, I got an idea. And he goes, Brother Eric, I trust you. You do whatever. I said, well, won't we tell you what it is first? And he goes, nope, I trust you. Hold the Holy Spirit, just, you know. And so he had been praying about water going in, water going out. And I was praying about, wow, I could have preachers coming in and out of these churches, you know, because I know a lot of them. And so, but how many of you, just a show of hands, would like me to ask you again and maybe put you on a little list? Because we have preachers, I got a list of them that I'm going to have come here, and maybe once a month. And we've already had a few, you know. And this brother right here, Brother Jeremiah, he goes, Brother Eric, keep bringing them. He goes, I've thoroughly enjoyed them. And I enjoy doing it. I enjoy the spotlight ain't my thing per se, but I, like I say, I can bring them in. But if when the Lord really burns on my heart a message, I like to have an open place that I can come and freely say what's on my heart. Amen. So God bless you, Brother Jerry, for coming. He's got a church down in Hamilton I'd highly recommend too. And he's so in love with Jesus that he in the back of a barn, he built a church in the back of a barn. And guess what? People are coming. People are coming. We was talking about having these mega churches. Hey, they go into the back of a barn, and guess who meets them there? God comes down, and he meets them there. And every time I've went, I felt the presence of God so strong. And but love is the capstone. And that's what we want to cap this off with tonight. And there's a presence right here, and it's hard to get away from it. You know, my brother said one time, he said, you know, what if you could get in your car and you could drive an hour and a half somewhere and Jesus would be there? Wouldn't you get in your car and wouldn't you go meet him? What if it's only 15 minutes away? What if it's a day and a half away? Remember, the children of God, they would get on their camels and they would ride and ride. He said, we could just sit in a air-conditioned Lincoln with leather seats, and we could ride anywhere and be comfortable. And yet people will still choose a three-hour movie over an hour and a half in the presence of God. Brother Pat, I'm thankful you came tonight, and everybody. And so I'm going to turn it over to the pastor here. I always like him to get up and just say a few things. He's so easy to listen to when he preaches. And I just, you know, he told me and my brother, because we were just coming up on Wednesday nights, and he normally don't preach Wednesday nights, and the other brothers do. And he said, brothers, if you'll come next Wednesday night, I'll preach. And buddy, he didn't sucker us in, but boy, we came back that next Wednesday night, and we couldn't get enough. We couldn't get enough. Amen. So God bless you. If you, well, just stay in your seat. Brother Nate, come on up. God bless you. Amen. God bless you.
So good to have everybody out.
Yes.
And I'm not even going to get started. But I am going to say one thing. To go along with my brother's message, the angel of the Lord is a ministering angel. And in the book of Revelation chapter 10, that angel of the Lord didn't stay up there.
Come on.
He came down here. He didn't stop ministering.
No.
He came down and he brought a book. That Brother Ben was talking about, the book is open.
Yes.
And when the book is open, that's the only time you can minister. Yeah. That's the only time you can minister, is when the book is open.
True. Yeah.
And so he came down here with that book, but he didn't stop there. Because a lot of people think that angels are up here somewhere. They're not up there somewhere. The ministry angels are down here.
Amen.
And that angel, that mighty angel, come down, put his foot on land and sea, and said, time shall be no more. And he told us, take this book and eat it.
Yes.
Because you are going to become that ministering angel.
Yes, 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 yes.
He
yes.
said, you'll prophesy.
Ah.
See, that's where the angel goes. He's not
on.
Sitting up here somewhere. People still think that angel's up here. No, the angel's going to walk up to you.
All right.
The angel's going to shake your hand.
Amen.
The angel's going to minister to you, preach to you, comfort you. That's where the angel is. And I'm quitting right there. Because that's a whole nother 2 hours. But I really am glad that you all come tonight, and you're welcome anytime. And I know where my brother's church is on over the hill. I think I've been to that church with Brother Childers when they had Saturday morning breakfast. I don't know if you still do that, but the COVID. Well, I was there. Okay. But I was there with Brother Childers years ago. I remember, because when he told me where his church was, I said, oh, okay. But I'm going to do one thing before. I promised y'all, Brother Price, where is he at? Is he gone? Oh, he done snuck out on me. I'll get him next time. But Brother Price actually is the one who made that.
Wow. Yeah.
And so he's a good brother, and we appreciate him. I really want to hear him. I haven't heard him for a long time. So we'll have to find out, get him over here. Good. See, there you go. Do it again. So it's good to have you all here. We're going to close. It's good to have little Bethlehem with us.
Amen.
And I know it's a good drive, so they come up and they spend time with us, and we enjoy going there. And we've got something special here. And I'm not talking about Pharaoh, and I'm talking about the bride. We've got something. When this is all said and done, the angel is going to be looking at us and wondering, how in the world did this make sense? How in the world does all this happen? And they're marveling at us.
Yeah.
And we're not the ones that they're envying us. You think you want to be an angel? You don't want to be an angel.
No.
You want to be part of a redemptive story. The angels weren't part of the redemptive story. Oh, I like that, Brother Ben. Either those angels they're not redeemable.
Yes.
I like that.
Yes.
They're not redeemable. So the ones that fail, the two-thirds, that's it for them.
Wow.
Yes. Oh, wow. Calvary didn't cover them.
Wow.
So the angels are looking at us. We're part of the redemption story. And they're looking at us like, wow, if I could only be you. So we're going to close as we stand. We're going to sing a song that the angels cannot sing. That's us, because they don't know about Amazing Grace like we do. They don't know the redemption story. Oh, they know the redemption story from where they're looking, but they're looking from the outside. That's like somebody looking at your family, and your family gets a new car, and your family gets a new house, and they're sitting there going, wow, look at them. They're not part of our family. They're ministering angels. And the story that we have, they can't sing. They have to sit back and listen to us. When we get over there, Brother Brown said we'll be over there singing Amazing Grace. You know who's going to be singing it? The bride. The angels won't know nothing about Amazing Grace. Not really. Because they're not redeemable. I like that. Amen. Come back anytime. You're welcome. We enjoyed it. Brother Ben, I remember him as a little bitty.
Amen.
Following his mama around. He was a little boy just following his mom. And she would come up, and Brother Greg would play the organ. She'd come and sing right here. Oh, good times. Loved him. Good to have you all here.
Amen.
Amen. It's a song, holy angels. Ah.